Hey there, folks. Paul here, signing in as we continue our study series, Snapshots in the Writings of Luke. Thanks for taking the time to come and join with me. Turn to Luke chapter 6 for me, if you would. We're going to look at this section in two parts, this video and the next. Verses 1 through to 5 today, and then 6 through to 11 next week. Now, the reason why I'm breaking this up into two parts, they are dealing with one single problem, and that problem is a controversy, a conflict which is taking place around Sabbath day. It expands on some of the things which we've seen beforehand. But I want to really dig in just a little bit deeper, if I may. Please allow me the time just to do that, two separate videos. Because this is a problem which, as well, we'll see Jesus had to deal with. I love the way that he dealt with it. But I also find in Scripture that Paul had to deal with it as well, some 30, 40 years later. And now in the modern church, this is why I'm doing it this way, I'm seeing a resurgence of this conflict, this problem, raising its ugly head even today. So I want you to be able to see it. I want you to be able to understand it. I want you to be able to recognize it should it come across your path and just go, no, wrong. All right. So let's read. Reading from Scripture, verses 1 through 5. I think I'll read the entire lot just in one block here. Then we'll come back. Then we'll have a look at a couple of notes. Now, as it happened, chapter 6, verse 1, on the second Sabbath after the first, we don't know exactly when that was. It doesn't really matter. That he went through, this is Jesus, through the grain fields. So they're walking through some grain fields. And his disciples, they plucked the heads of grain. They ate them, rubbing them together in their hands. Verse 2, here's where the conflict begins. Remember, the Pharisees are looking to find fault. And some of the Pharisees said to them, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Now, I could just go on. The fact that they're even there watching them is a curious thing, considering that you weren't allowed to even travel from your home a certain distance during Sabbath. So I don't know why they're there. But putting that aside, they're making this accusation. Why are you doing something which is unlawful on the Sabbath? Oh, why are your disciples doing this? But Jesus, answering them, says, have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he went, verse 4, into the house of God. He took and he ate of the showbread, and also gave some to those to eat who were with him. And that's not lawful for anyone but the priests to eat. And then he just dropped the mic, walked away. The Son of Man, he says, is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now, we do actually see this, and maybe you'd like to pause if you really want to dig in just a bit more. It's in Matthew. It's also in Mark. And there's a little bit more context in there as well. But the point remains, this conflict that we begin to see here on and around Sabbath. Well, I'd like to preface, if I can, this video by quoting from Revelation 21. Behold, the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. And this is what he's doing here. This is why we're seeing some conflict. So I think in order to explain this, let me just quickly clarify what the disciples did, what the Pharisees meant by their question, and why this was a conflict in their minds. Not the disciples, the Pharisees. So, they're walking through, Jesus and the disciples walking through a grain field, a wheat field, most likely. They're plucking heads of grain, okay? They're rubbing them together in their hands. I can imagine, it doesn't say, but they would blow off the chaff and they're left with the grain, the wheat, to eat. It's like a traveler's snack. That's the example that we see given in Scripture. And so at first thought, you would think that the Pharisees accusing them of theft. Oh, why are you doing that? But no, that's actually not the case. That's not what they're accusing them of. They're accusing them of work, of doing work on the Sabbath. Because in the law, Deuteronomy 23, it's actually legal to take this. You're going through a field, you can take from your hand. I've written it down, let me read it to you just so we understand. Deuteronomy 23, 25, when you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. Okay, so what's permitted here? You can take it with your hand, you know, you can then eat it and then take some more. What's forbidden here, what's not allowed, is harvesting. You can't come in with a combine harvester, take down the whole field, pop it on the back of a truck and take it away. You can't put it into containers, you can't put it into your pockets, you can't keep for later, you just have it while you're there now. And because we will come across it later, this is different to what's known as the gleaning laws, where you know the leftovers for the poor, the widows, the orphans, the strangers, the corners of the field and so on, that were intentionally left, that's different to them. So it wasn't stealing. But it was a controversy because of work. Now you and me, we look at this and go, wait, what? I don't understand. Well, let me just give you the Pharisees' understanding. Let's try and get into their headspace for just one moment as to why this was such a serious thing. Exodus 31, we read, and I'm just going to summarize these. Verse 13, surely, this is God laying down the law here, surely my Sabbath is for you to keep. It is for a sign between me and you. Verse 15, whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. This is serious stuff. Understand this. The Sabbath was a sign of the covenant that God made with his children Israel. And to work on the Sabbath, death penalty. Serious stuff. Therefore, we read in verse 16, 17, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. This is a day of rest as a perpetual covenant. A sign forever. This is what they have, you know, 1,000+ years of history, covenant keeping, children of Israel with God. Them, they had the Sabbath as a sign. We actually have some things as well. I love it. Scripture says that in the new covenant, God seals us now with the Holy Spirit. But we also have a couple of visible practices in there as well. Baptism and communion. Us saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to be following you now. And we see that for others to see. And the communion when we remember when we come together at different times. But here's interesting. And we spoke about this thought at a men's breakfast recently. The everyday evidence that people should see in you and in me of our discipleship under Christ is love. That's something that's worthwhile just writing down, coming back to, and praying about. By this shall all men know, Jesus said, that ye are my disciples. What? That you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. That is something worthwhile praying about. But coming back to the text here. We have the law about working and about keeping the Sabbath. Great. But the Pharisees and tradition have built these fences, if I can say it that way, around these things, around this command, you shall not work. And this is where the collision happens here in Luke 6, because the plucking, the taking of the heads of grain, they saw that as reaping. The rubbing together to blow out the chaff, they saw that as threshing. This was work. And then suddenly this snack becomes effort. Work which was against the law. Now before we move on, let me also, just one moment, because you will still get some people trying to tell you, even today, that you must keep the Saturday Sabbath. Have a listen to this. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 7. Let no one judge you, Paul writes, in food or drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are shadows of things to come. The substance, he says, is of Christ. And we spoke in an earlier video about types and shadows then being fulfilled in Christ. Yes? The deeper rest, it is found in Christ. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. This is what the Sabbath day was meant to be, rest. And Hebrews 4, paraphrasing verses 9 through 10, there therefore remains a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest, Jesus' rest, he himself has then also ceased from his work as God did from his. Referring to Genesis, the seventh day, where God, what? Rested. Now, this is where we see the change between the old covenant and the new. And I know that this is a lot of information. This may be something you need to perhaps listen to twice, and that's okay. There's a change. Saturday was the covenant day of rest, the Sabbath, the last day of the week. Sunday now is when we gather together. Why? Well, in Acts chapter 20, we see that they gathered together on that first week, gathering, breaking of bread, and so on. We see in 1 Corinthians 16, again, on the first day of the week, this is Sunday, that they set it aside. Why? Because Jesus was resurrected then on the Sunday. Sunday was the first day of the Jewish week. Sabbath was the last day of the Jewish week. So what we're seeing here is that the law says work. Let's see if I get this up right. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Work, 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 rest. But the gospel says that Christ finished the work, and therefore enter your rest. Let your life overflow with good works. Sunday, first day of the week, rest. Work, 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 work. And how did it go back in Genesis chapter 1? Do you know the timeline of events? Man created on the what? The sixth day, towards the end there, and then on the seventh day, what? Rest. It's like the cross of Christ and the resurrection has brought us back to that seventh day rest with God. But Hebrews tells us not to be just one day, it's every day now as we rest in Him. I love in John 19, I think it is. Jesus on the cross. He's done that beautiful work. It's complete. Our sins are paid for. Our stripes, our punishment upon Him. What does He say? What are the last words that He says? It is what? Finished. Here's the thing as to why we can now enter into this rest. Because He has done the work for us. We have moved from the physical covenant, the old, into the spiritual covenant of the new. And it is finished. Therefore, we enter into His rest. Because the work is done. The old covenant was all about works and things that you did. The new is spiritual and life. And so they bring up this argument, verse 2, why are you doing what is not lawful to do? Because they had built these fences around the do not work on the Sabbath, completely misunderstanding it. And I love verse 3, Jesus answering them. He does not begin with the, you know, a rabbinic, rabbi-based argument. Well, let's get into it. Let's discuss this. He doesn't get into philosophical sparring. He doesn't, you know, well, here's my opinion. Here's my truth. I think my truth should be able to stand against your truth. No, he doesn't do that. He says, have you not read? He goes straight to Scripture, just like he did with the enemy in the temptations in the wilderness. It is written. And if you're ever going to listen to and want to perhaps in some way model some preacher somewhere, I'm going to put up Billy Graham as an example, especially in his younger years. The Bible says, dot, dot, dot. The Bible says, dot, dot, dot. When we speak Christ, we must speak Him. Not our own words. His. It is entirely possible to be able to know the text of Scripture and completely miss the point. We have to approach this word with an open mind and a tender heart, seeking to understand, not just read and remember. I love in 1 Samuel, the young boy Samuel hears the voice of God. He says, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." In Isaiah, 55, we see God speaking of his word. He says, so shall my word be. It shall go out and it shall not return to me void. When we speak the word of God, the scripture, it is written. The Bible says that word will go out, accomplish its purpose, and will not return to God void. I promise you, it's in there. It's guaranteed. I love in Ezra, just before Nehemiah, Ezra prepared in chapter 7 his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. He prepared within himself, this is what you and I are to do. Now, you may not be teaching, but we are to have the word in here. So when someone asks of us of our hope, we are able to reply and respond, not with our thoughts, not with our feelings, but with the word of God. And so Jesus explains and responds with this beautiful example. And I love this. This is to be our model. Jesus answers them. Verse 3 says, have you not read this? He knew that they had read this account that we're about to go into right now. They had read it 100 times and they knew it and they knew it and they knew it, but they didn't understand it. Have you not read even this? When what did David do when he was hungry? And those who were with him, they went to the house of God. There was no bread but the showbread, and so on. And so we don't really have time to go into this today. You can read about it. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 21. I look here in my notes. David is fleeing Saul. He and some of his men, they are hungry. They come across, you know, the temple of the Lord, and he sees the priests and he says, hey, have you got something for my men and I to eat? Now, David, of course, here has been anointed king. He is waiting for God to give him that position. You got some food for us? Priest says, no, I don't have any food. I've only got the showbread. Now, the showbread, 12 loaves of bread consecrated, set apart for the Lord, part of ceremony and tradition and law. We're not going to go into that today. Remember, probably video 2 or 3, Zechariah in the holy place lighting the incense. This is where also the showbread was to be. And it was a holy place and a holy thing, and only the priests were allowed to eat it. Yet David took of it, which it says here, he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those who were with him, which is not lawful but for the priests to eat. So what does this actually teach? What is it that they were missing? Simply this. Listen carefully. This is important. Human need outweighs ceremonial, traditional restrictions in the moment. Human need outweighs these things, the policies, the procedures, the papers. Human need. The heart of God, folks, it's not cold ritual. It is mercy. Don't listen to those in the world who will say otherwise. It is mercy. In Hosea 6, we see, for I desire, God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. In fact, if you read the other account of this in Matthew 12, you will see that Jesus quotes that. And I think of, and I shake my head thinking of it. Brief testimony, a church that I went to and worship practice. One of the ladies taking a seat had some things going in her life that, as my wife was talking to her, she's in tears and she's broken and she's hurting. My wife took her aside for prayer. Later, to be, I don't think scolded is the right word, but to be corrected. Wrong time, wrong place, shouldn't have been doing that then. Wrong! That's all I've got to say. Wrong! Well, God desires mercy more than sacrifice. if your plans and your paperwork and your procedures are getting in the way of the love of God for his people, there's got to be a question mark. That's what Jesus is showing here. That's what he's talking about. And he wraps up chapter 6, verse 5. The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. That's not just a clever argument. This is poking the bear with some solid truth. That's what this is. This is his claim of authority. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And being so, he has the right to interpret it and show it for what it is. And this phrase, the Son of Man, you will see it throughout Scripture, echoes Daniel 7. It's the one to whom dominion will be given and a kingdom. Him! Hallelujah! The Sabbath is not master of Jesus. Understand this. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Actually, in Mark chapter 2, in Mark's account of this, Jesus says there, it's recorded, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. All the things that we do, they are for us. We are not for them to fit in. So, let's wrap it up. The disciples eating from the grain, that was lawful. The dispute was over Sabbath tradition, not law. It wasn't theft. And the Sabbath was given to Israel, yes, as a covenant, a sign for remembrance. And so in the doing, it became traditionally then guarded above and beyond with intense tradition. Jesus responds, he answers the questions just simply by opening Scripture, not by debating opinion. And the showbread episode, it shows and it proves, it's in there all the time, this biblical pattern that we have where need and mercy are weightier than ritual and regulation. Guys, if we can't pause a moment for whatever is going on to pray for a brother and sister in Christ, we've missed this point clearly. And the key revelation here, and this is so good, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. They didn't know it back then, but he did. We do now. Hallelujah. So a couple of questions for you, if I can, just to wrap up. As I said, this one was just digging a little bit deeper. Thank you for sticking with me. Where do you see people sort of confusing, you know, the commands of God with man-made fences? I wonder also, question two, are there ways perhaps that we can read Scripture still often but miss its meaning? Give that thought. Just look at the way that you follow up and you read and see how much you grasp along the way. Another question is, what does it look like now for us? I gave an illustration. What does it look like for us now to be able to put mercy first, but not abandon ministry or service that we may be in? And the holiness that comes with it, the heart's intent. And when you look at this, when you read through this, are there any changes perhaps, points of conviction in your heart? Maybe you need to make some change. It's okay. Maybe you do. I know I certainly have had to. Food for thought. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.